This hour of the Jason Ranch Show is brought to you by MMComfortSystems.com. Lots of news happening all around the world and right here at home. So let's find out what's trending.
What's trending? The coronavirus.
We have seen an increase in the so-called breakthrough cases. That is when someone is vaccinated, but then is found to have had COVID. Now, in some cases, and I don't think this counts as a breakthrough case, when someone has only received one of the shots of the two that you would need. When we're talking about breakthrough cases, we're talking about people who are fully vaccinated who end up getting COVID. Now, the number itself, both locally and nationally, is very small. In fairness, it's also probably misleading. So, for example, in Washington State, we've had 0.0007% of the total vaccinated people end up reporting COVID. So that's very, very low for the vaccinated folks. However, it's likely that that number is much higher. What that is, we don't know. And when I say much higher, it could be 1%. Mostly because what we're being told is if you were to get the Delta variant while vaccinated, you're one of these breakthrough cases, you might not even know it. You might be asymptomatic. Here's Jesse Erasmus talking with Como TV's, the assistant professor at UW Medicine.
Most of the cases that you're reading about being referred to as breakthrough cases, for the most part, the symptoms are extremely mild, maybe a runny nose or like a light flu-like symptom.
So the basic takeaway from all of this, as Dr. Ali Mokhtad says, he's an infectious disease expert over at the UW, if you're vaccinated and you become one of these breakthrough cases, you don't really have anything to worry about.
Even if you get COVID-19, it's not going to impact you. You're not going to end up in a hospital and definitely not in the morgue.
Okay, definitely not in the morgue. You're not going to die. And yet, despite the breakthrough number of cases being very, very small, despite the fact that if you were to become one of these breakthrough cases, if you are vaccinated and you are exposed to COVID, Delta or otherwise, you might not even know it. Despite all of that, Dr. Chris Spitters over at Snohomish County is the health officer. He tells Como TV, even if vaccinated, keep that mask on.
I think it's wise for even vaccinated people to consider wearing a mask when they're indoor in a crowded public space like a grocery store, hardware store, what have you.
First of all, I don't know what grocery stores you're going to, but they're not packed indoors. They're not crowded indoors. Most grocery stores give you plenty of room to roam around. However, why would he recommend fully vaccinated people in the context of barely even knowing you have COVID if you were to be one of the very small percentage of breakthrough cases? Why would he tell you to wear a mask? Hospitalizations are down across the country. Death is down across the country. But I suppose it's the message is be safe. Better be safe than sorry. Huh. That's interesting. And I started to think about this new narrative that's out there, the Delta variant. Everyone in the media, with the exception of Fox News, is going nuts about the Delta variant. And you can already see the script being written and performed as to what's happening next. We have a tool at our disposal that can fight back. Do you know what that tool happens to be? Not masks, because masks probably not going to come back. I know LA County did it, but I doubt it's going to be a bigger issue beyond that. New York, for example, today, Bill de Blasio made the point, we're not going to bring back masks. What is he bringing to the table?
Bear spray.
Well, no, that was a different issue. I'm talking about COVID.
Well, I thought social distancing, bear spray. Oh, vaccinations?
No. Say testing!
Testing, Jason.
Testing! Jason Tells the Future, 3.09 p.m. on July 21st. This time, Peyton won't forget to write it down. We are going to see frequent COVID test demands. Now, maybe it will be mandated under certain circumstances. In New York, for example, they are mandating it for medical professionals. But my sense is it's going to be the message. Get tested constantly. Do it once a week, maybe twice a week, depending on your circumstances. We may not mandate, but we are going to pressure you. All you have to do is go to your local drugstore, go online to Amazon.com, and order some of these approved for emergency use authorization over-the-counter self-tests. There are two reasonably affordable options out there right now. I think it's pronounced Illume, which is $39. And then I believe it's Binax or Bimax, something like that. That is $20. The more expensive one you only have to do once. The least expensive one you have to do twice over the course of a couple days. I guarantee you that we are going to be told to get tested constantly as a way to avoid wearing a mask regardless of vaccine status, because there are some very wealthy people getting involved in what I believe will become the next COVID grift. I have no problem with wealthy people investing in technology or products when they believe there's a market for it. I have no problem with that whatsoever. However, I do have a problem with Bill Gates, someone who is a self-appointed and media-appointed COVID vaccine expert. This is a guy who is a global health powerhouse because he has the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and they give a lot of money to various global health causes. And there's no doubt he gives a lot of money, but he also makes a ton of money, and he does it in a very specific way. Bill Gates is very, very, very adamant about intellectual property rights. Generally, I am too, unless you're abusing the system thanks to a monopoly. Let's understand that Microsoft made him all of his money because of intellectual property rights. Microsoft, kind of a monopoly. Bill Gates had the opportunity not long ago to come out and say, you know what? When it comes to the vaccine formulations that these various pharmaceutical companies have come up with, including the ones who have made lots and lots and lots of money, including the ones that are getting funded from government entities, he said, no, I am not willing to share. We should not be willing to share the vaccine formulations.
And in terms of that, there's been some speculation that the changing intellectual property rules and allowing these vaccines, as you say, the recipe for these vaccines to be shared would be helpful. And do you think that would be helpful?
No.
No. He took a position that we should not be sharing the vaccine formulas. That's his position. And that position got in the way of low-income, impoverished countries from gaining access, quick enough access, to the vaccine. Now, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, I thought, was supposed to help people like that. And he has created this aura around him. He is the patron saint of vaccine distribution. Except he got in the way. How does that relate to the testing? How does that relate to the testing? You know what he just bought? Any guesses based on the context of this entire segment? Say, an at-home testing kit company.
Did he buy an at-home testing kit company?
Bingo! You get a star sticker.
Yay!
Put it on the board next to your name. It's the first one for your career.
In 2 years.
He just purchased, alongside George Soros, who definitely can be trusted, an at-home test kit company based in the United Kingdom. So let's just be clear about what's going to happen. We already know that he is involved in trying to stop the sharing of the vaccine. We know that now we're being told by the media that even if you're vaccinated, you might have to still wear a mask because you could still get COVID thanks to the Delta variant. And he just purchased an at-home test kit company. While we're starting to hear Bill de Blasio in New York say, we should probably be testing more people. Who do you think is going to be on TV in the coming weeks as, again, the self-appointed expert and the media-appointed expert when it comes to this? Any guesses? Say Bill Gates.
Bill Gates, Jason.
Bill Gates. And what will he be pushing? Say self-testing of COVID at home.
Self-testing of COVID at home.
And who gets rich off of that? Say Bill Gates again.
Bill Gates again.
But also George Soros.
But also George Soros.
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 There you go.
Soros.
You don't have to whisper it. They heard you.
It's not like Anthony Banderas is Zorro?
Not Zorro. Soros.
Zorro with a Z.
No, with an S.
Zorro.
No, Zorro. How curious. Conspiratorial? Maybe. Following a script that we've seen before? Yes. Unethical? Eh, depends on your position. If you want to help me expose this nonsense, text the keyword RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z, to 1-800-465-8770. Text R-A-N-T-Z to 1-800-465-8770. Don't forget, you can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/JasonRANTZ, twitter.com/JasonRANTZ. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? The homelessness crisis.
So there are two homeless encampments along I-90 near Rainier Avenue that will be removed tomorrow, we believe, because people living there or around there, homeless people, apparently have been responsible for throwing debris onto the freeway. Some of it injuring drivers, almost killing drivers, scaring the heck out of drivers. In fact, yesterday afternoon, while we were doing this show during rush hour, the Washington State Patrol says 7 cars were hit. One person has been arrested, a 41-year-old man. Trooper Chase Van Cleve spoke with Cairo 7 TV and said, hey, we're also going to do emphasis patrols around this particular area so we can help stop the problem.
We're not going to treat this as the end of it. We're not going to, you know, celebrate in any way, shape, or form that we've solved this. We're going to continue our patrols. We're going to continue the emphasis until we know that the people that are driving on these roadways are safe.
So in this case, you had motorists tracking the person down and catching the guy. So people are understandably upset about the several weeks now. What are we, month number 3 or maybe 2.5 months of this nonsense happening nonstop? Instead of acknowledging what the issue is, and I suppose I'm in a position now where I'm nitpicking here, the guy who runs WashDOT, his name is Roger Millar. Yes, they're going to go ahead and sweep. Finally. But of course, he has to talk about it in the most politically correct way possible.
This is not a homeless camp issue. This is a criminal activity and public safety issue.
They're both the same in this case. You have homeless people who are causing the problems. Do you remember producer Peyton who said that homeless people were causing these problems?
I think you said that, Jason.
Many times. Many times. It seemed rather obvious, given all of the information of the descriptions of the people, the locations of the people. They are camped out illegally. That makes it a criminal problem. They are, on top of camping out illegally, engaging in this kind of criminal, deadly, potentially deadly behavior. So in this case, they're one of the same. But you're not supposed to say that.
And a specific one we're addressing, the State Patrol and the Seattle Police Department have identified two locations where these things are happening, and we are taking action to protect the public, and we're doing that with our partners, but it is not a change in our approach to homeless encampments in the state right-of-way.
By the way, he says that just so everyone relax, we're only going to clear up two of these encampments, not all of the other ones that pose risk to drivers and the homeless people. Just these two. All the other ones, don't worry. We're not going to touch. They're going to be able to continue to camp out on the right of way. Some of them ending up getting into the way of a car, getting hit and almost dying and or dying or getting injured. We're not going to stop any of that. Just these two encampments.
And it's not a change in our approach to working with the city of Seattle or any of the other cities and counties in Washington State. It's addressing an immediate public safety concern.
An immediate public health concern after this has gone on for 2-3 months and there have been at least 180 incidents that have been reported, okay? But other than that, we're taking immediate action. I mean, yes, it took us several weeks to even consider doing something like this, but we're taking immediate action. We could have done it before, but now we're going to choose to do it.
It was crazy. It was probably one of the craziest events I've ever been in.
That dude is Dan Weigard. His truck was hit by a rock while he was driving on I-90. He spoke to Como TV. So So now they're going to clean up these encampments. Eric lives at this encampment. He's lived there for 4 years. Just as a reminder that WatchDOT doesn't care about the people who are living out on the streets. He actually doesn't think removal is necessarily a bad thing, but you better make sure you do what he wants.
I think that it's a wonderful thing if they do something to put it somewhere. If you just want me to tear my tent down and drag it off somewhere else, it doesn't make any sense to me.
Now, Eric, to be clear, I don't want you to just tear down your tent and go somewhere else. I would like it if you would go into the system so we can help you, but you choose not to accept offers of help. How do I know that? He's been there for 4 years. Not to judge a book by its cover or by his voice. Does that sound like a guy who is willing to do the work proactively to get his life in order? No, he doesn't. Sorry, he doesn't. And again, we know that because he's been living there for 4 years. There is some reason why he is living there, right? We have the tools, we have the resources to help him. But in the city of Seattle, in the county of King County, in the state of Washington, what do we not do? We do not put any meaningful pressure for anyone who is homeless to go indoors, to go into the system, to get into a program, to get that underlying reason why they're out there treated. Instead, we allow people like that to roam around the streets, live outside, live in the cold, live in the heat, be surrounded by human waste, and we pretend that that is a compassionate approach because we wouldn't want to sweep any homeless encampments and compel people to go into treatment. God forbid. Everything here is a symptom of homelessness. This is not a story about debris and rocks and bricks and rebar being thrown onto cars. That's happening, but that's not what the story is about. The story is about homelessness. This is a symptom of our homelessness problem. We don't sweep. They're out there. Whether or not the guy who was arrested even lives at that encampment isn't the issue. It's that we've got homeless people wandering around helplessly, sometimes on purpose, and neither the city nor the county nor the state do anything about it. Listen to how Roger Millar speaks.
I want to be really clear about we at the Washington State DOT would love to clean up our right-of-way. We're eager to do that. But what we're not going to do is inhumanely move people around in our right-of-way.
Can we just stop talking about the sweeps being inhumane? Because you understand there's one of two options here. You can sweep and put people into shelter, or you can claim that that's inhumane and instead leave them out on the streets suffering. They will inevitably die as a result of this situation that they're in. So tell me which is inhumane. The sweeps, they get people indoors, or leaving them out there to suffer. And as we're talking about humanity, can we say something about the people who are the victims of the debris hitting their cars?
We're just driving along, talking, and then all of a sudden we hear what we thought was an explosion at first.
Oh, that seems pleasant. That's Adrienne. She was talking to Cairo Radio's Gene Ursula show this morning, and she was actually seriously injured by a rock thrown over the overpass onto her car on Sunday.
I realized that I couldn't move my left arm, but we looked up and we saw there was a giant hole in the windshield.
Huh. Interesting.
The EMT said she's going into shock. We need to put a neck brace. We don't know if she broke her neck, but they couldn't because I was covered in glass. I had glass in my mouth and my eyes, and, you know, my legs were cut up.
Huh. Can we show her some compassion and humanity, or only the people who you're choosing to leave out on the streets to die? Just asking questions, Roger. 1-800-465-8770. If you want to join the conversation, send me a text. 1-800-465-8770. Welcome back to the Jason Rand Show on AM 770 KTTH and 94.5 FM on the Greater East Side. You likely by now have ballots in hand. And for those of you who live in Seattle, you are choosing about maybe 5, 6, 7 viable potential candidates for mayor in Seattle. One of them is Casey Sixkiller. He's currently the deputy mayor of Seattle, and he joins me now. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Jason. Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
There's obviously a lot on the line here for the next mayor, and there's going to be a lot of issues to tackle. A huge one happens to be homelessness. It's gotten completely out of control. Do you support sweeps?
I do. I think we've gotten so focused on the semantics that, you know, we need to remember that we can be compassionate without excusing behavior that is causing harm. And for me, you know, I think being able to just be really honest about the harm that encampments are having across our city today, I think is really important. We can't just hide behind homelessness. We need to actually be intentional, get folks connected to the services they need, but also, you know, make sure that we are addressing the public safety concerns that our neighbors are experiencing across our city.
What level of crisis do you think we're in as it relates to where we were 2 years ago?
I mean, I have to say I have not seen the conditions of our streets and our parks like this in my life. Every door I knock on, every voter I talk to, the number one issue that they talk to me about is public safety and no longer feeling safe in our city. And the truth is, you know, families are leaving Seattle. Businesses are leaving Seattle or really weighing whether or not they want to bring employees back downtown because it's not safe. I just think we have to, you know, be clear-eyed about that and actually, you know, stop talking about it and start doing something to address it.
Should the mayor take responsibility for this? I mean, you work for the mayor. It's obviously gotten worse over the course of the last year. Some of it is COVID-related or COVID at least adjacent. But what level of responsibility do you think the Durkin administration should have for this?
Well, look, the challenges facing our city aren't new. They've been building for years. COVID obviously threw us a curveball. But I really think that what we are experiencing today is, you know, the legacy of the Seattle City Council over the last 10 years. And, you know, every one of these issues, you know, homelessness didn't pop on the radar screen a year ago. Homelessness, we've been trying to figure out a way to address that issue for 20 years now. And instead of actually investing in a plan, we've been investing, you know, in this industrial complex that has been built up over the last 20 years. And on public safety, I mean, just look at what has happened in this past year. We've lost 300 officers. We have a record amount of shots fired. We have, you know, every one of our crime categories, you know, crime statistics is up in up double digits from just a year ago. And 911 response times are up, are twice what they were just a year ago. You know, the council has made decisions, I think, that are reckless and have made Seattle less safe, haven't put us in a position to address the income inequality, the affordability crisis that we're seeing around our housing market, and, you know, is, again, driving jobs to other cities. That is not how we're going to get Seattle back on track.
What do you think is the single most damaging policy that the council has pursued, and how would you address it as mayor?
Well, again, I think the most damaging policy that they've pursued over the last several years has been chipping away at the Seattle Police Department's budget. Look, we have to remember, we can walk and chew gum at the same time. You know, if we want to actually see law enforcement, you know, continue to evolve and move toward a more constitutional policing approach across our city that is, you know, has law enforcement as a piece and other community community organizations and other approaches as part of that, we have to actually invest in that change. We can't rob Peter to pay Paul. That's never been a successful business model. And I think, you know, in order for us to really make a difference on our streets today, we have to, you know, we have to hire more cops. We've lost 300 cops. That's our opportunity, though, mm-hmm. to hire cops that show our values. And, you know, we've got to, you know, invest in the force so they have the right numbers. I want those officers out of their cars, building relationships in the community again, to get back that community policing model. But, you know, Jason, there are other candidates in this race that they don't think more cops is the answer. And I fundamentally disagree. We have to have that and, right? It's a both and realize that, yes, these other community organizations, they play an important role, but they're not at scale yet. We have to give them time and space and invest in their capacity so they can be an alternative when it makes sense. But at the end of the day, when you call 911, if you have a crisis call, we got to make sure an officer shows up and you don't get a busy signal.
Casey Sixkiller joining me on the line. He's running for mayor of Seattle, and everything you just said there, I pretty much agree with. And I think that's the problem, right, is that someone like me, who's clearly conservative, agrees with your position, and you've got a council that's clearly in opposition to everything you just said. So what is your plan in the next few days, really, to make a big enough splash that you end up advancing to the general election? You've got everything you just said right now. If you have the same exact kind of council as mayor, none of that gets done.
Well, I think, look, part of this election, you know, really is about the future of Seattle.
Yeah.
And, you know, what I'm doing as a candidate is both putting ideas out there that I think make sense, that I think, you know, represent some middle ground here, you know, that they don't speak to the loudest voice in the room. They speak to all of the different folks that make up the city of Seattle. And, you know, so as a candidate, I am, you know, taking this on a grassroots level, you know, going door to door, neighborhood to neighborhood. You know, I have so many backyard conversations over the next 2 weeks. It's really exciting for me because that's how we're going to put Seattle back together, right, is working as neighbors,
mm-hmm.
you know, not as advocates, but as neighbors coming together and saying enough is enough.
I hope
back to the basics.
I hope that they feel more empowered to actually support you then, right? Because we've certainly had these conversations over the course of the last several years of, okay, certainly the last election. Things are horrible. People are fed up. And then we get arguably a more insane council, like a more fringe, far to the left council. And so where is the disconnect, do you believe, in the folks who are complaining about the situation, the parents who don't want to send their kids to a school that has an encampment on campus, the business owners who have been complaining about all the vandalism and the break-ins that aren't getting addressed, and the fact that we keep putting in to positions of power the same kinds of folks? You're very familiar with the polling. So Bruce Harrell is the front runner right now, followed by Lorena Gonzalez, who is a part of the problem.
Yeah, look, if you believe the polling, 35% of our voters don't know who they're going to vote for, and they've got a ballot in their hand right now.
Yeah.
I mean, that to me really just shows that people are looking for a candidate like me that's willing to speak directly to the issues, to be clear-eyed about what the solutions are. And I want to empower those voters and our residents. And I think that's what's been missing. We have not had a governing coalition, you know, of our communities coming together and saying, we want action. And look, the city council, despite all of the noise between Mayor Durkin and the city council this past year, I found ways to work with them. And I think that's the thing. You know, we're not going to agree on everything, but we got to mm-hmm. agree on some core things. And, you know, supporting somebody like me is sending a message that this is what we want. We want outcomes. We don't want process. We want to see progress. We want to see problems solved. And, you know, I will, you know, sit down with the council on day one, rip that page from Norm Rice's playbook and say, what are the things we're going to work on together? And realize, you know, a lot of those council members are also up for reelection in 2 years. So they're also going to have some incentive. And I think I've built enough of a foundation with enough of them to be able to start somewhere fresh. But I'll tell you this, Jason, I don't think the solution to figuring out how to work with the city council is moving a current or former city council president into the mayor's office. I just think that is not the best decision for the future of our city.
I 100% agree with you. I just hope that you're able to get in front of enough people and get this message out there, because right now, at least according to the polls, it's not looking good for your campaign. I hope that turns around, because everything you have said here, for the most part, I think the majority of Seattle could get behind. And what you're saying is the complete opposite of what a Lorena Gonzalez is saying, or even a Bruce Harrell, who is now trying to go further to the left to try to placate the activist base. So folks who are listening out there in Seattle, I hope you'll give Casey Sixkiller a chance of your vote. Sixkiller4Seattle.com if you want to learn more about his campaign. It's all spelled out. Sixkiller4Seattle.com. Go there now. Learn more about all the other issues that are incredibly important for Seattle and how he will address it. And Casey, hopefully we'll have you back on in the next few days to get an update on where the campaign is going. We really appreciate you stopping by.
Hey, Jason, thanks so much. Look forward to talking again.
Absolutely. Again, sixkiller4seattle.com. SIXKILLERFORSEATTLE.com. You're listening to the Jason Rancho. Welcome back to the Jason Rance Show. We are live on this Wednesday afternoon back here in Seattle after a fun, productive trip to Tampa for the Student Action Summit. And when I was in Tampa, the one thing that I immediately realized was you can live in a clean and safe city and also have a Democrat be in charge. Now, granted, the Democrat mayor in Tampa is a Florida Democrat. She's not an insane person, according to the folks on the right that I spoke to over the last few days. People in Tampa have a mayor and have neighbors who care deeply about the city. There are a lot of people in Seattle who care deeply about the city, but don't have any institutional support from the mayor's office or from the city council. In this case, it's in large part due to the council being so far to the left that a Democrat like Jenny Durkin stood no chance. It's time for us to take back the city of Seattle. Some of you don't live in Seattle, but you work in Seattle. Some of you don't even visit Seattle, but you have friends who live here, who work here. People have asked me who I am going to vote for mayor in the city of Seattle. And we just spoke to him. I got my ballot in the mail while I was gone, picked it up yesterday when I got home, and I filled it out. And I filled out Casey Sixkiller for mayor. I'm not going to pretend that it's going to be easy for him to make it to the general, let alone win. His campaign started too late, in my opinion. I don't think he's done a particularly good job in getting his name out there and his vision out there. I'm also not afraid to say I'm voting for a Democrat in this case, despite a Republican running, because you're not going to get a Republican. We will not get a Republican mayor. And so the best thing that you can hope for is a sane Democrat. We'll disagree with the sane Democrat most of the time. We will. But it's a matter of who will be the best for the situation in Seattle on the issues that right now are the most important. And I would argue crime and homelessness, followed by the economy, they're all those three, are of near equal importance in the city of Seattle. And on all three of those issues, I think Casey Sixkiller is best suited to address them. And I say this. Any Democrat in the city of Seattle who acknowledges that we do, in fact, need to sweep these encampments, that we do have to support police and not just support them, but give them more resources and hire more officers. Any Democrat who says that, not just on a conservative talk show, but just utters those words in public, is a Democrat that I think you can get behind. We are not going to agree on a lot, but we're going to agree on some of the big issues. And right now, we need to take control of the homelessness crisis that is out of control. Parks, schools, neighborhoods have been overwhelmed with the homelessness crisis. At the end of this year, we're going to have a Seattle Police Department that will be a full third lighter than it was 18 months ago. They're going to lose a third of its police force at a time where crime is going up, particularly violent crime. The Seattle City Council is not going to change this election. Now, I hope folks will vote for someone like Sarah Nelson, who's running at large. It's not looking good right now for her. It's looking better for Nikita Oliver, who is an insane person. You think Shama Sawan is crazy? Look to Nikita Oliver. Look to Nikita Oliver and realize that she is likely going to get on this council. We need someone in the mayorship, in the mayor's office, that will be a little bit sane. With Casey Sixkiller, I think we get a lot of that. We get a lot of sanity. I don't judge him for the work of Jenny Durkin. But even if I were, I would still pick him over, say, Lorena Gonzalez, who is a huge reason why the city has turned into what it's become. Bruce Harrell? he's moving further and further and further to the left to placate the lunatic fringe in the city. I don't want a mayor who does that. I'm willing to settle, but not sell out all the principles that I hold. We need someone who day one, will take on this council. And the way he talks about the issues, the way he talks about the council, leads me to believe that Casey Sixkiller is going to be that person. Now, I made sure to not endorse him during that interview because I imagine there are going to be some activists out there who will listen to just that interview. And just because he came on this show, they will attack him as a conservative. Casey Sixkiller, to be clear, he's definitely not a conservative. Definitely not. But I didn't want to give any ammunition to the lunatics to attack him after listening to 10 minutes of this show. They're not going to listen to the rest of the show, so I'm comfortable saying it now. You guys have asked me who I'm voting for, and that's who. That's who I voted for. I implore you, even though in this case it's definitely not going to be easy, to step up, not only vote for Casey Sixkiller, but make sure you're contacting every single person that you know who lives in Seattle to throw him their support. There are a lot of people who are running. Makes it slightly easier to edge out a win. His polling, I'm not going to lie, is not looking good because he hasn't really run a good campaign. Some of you don't even realize that he's running. So here's an opportunity to do something. It's going to be hard, but I need you to do it. So I'm voting for Casey Sixkiller. I did vote for Casey Sixkiller. I need you guys to do it too. Sarah Nelson is a good choice for at-large counsel. Ann Davison is running for Seattle City Attorney. That's actually very winnable, given the polling. We talked about it yesterday. She's going to be on the show a little bit later on this evening. She'll be on at 5:15 or so. So I'm looking forward to that conversation. Casey Sixkiller is the guy I voted for. I hope you will as well. You're listening to The Jason Rancher, 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text.